Hello, everybody. I'm Dwayne Mancini, and welcome to another episode of the Project MedTech Podcast. If you need anything from us or would like to suggest a future guest, you can email us at info@projectmedtech.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. And you can always visit our website, www.projectmedtech.com, or follow us on LinkedIn. On March 1st, we will be creating a new channel for MedTech Money. So if you are a fan of that podcast, please search Project MedTech on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe to your favorite Project MedTech channels. In this episode, our guest, Leighton Jurjak, and I discuss his podcast, the Neural Implant Podcast, where the neurospace is headed, peripheral nerve stimulation, bioelectronic medicine, the vagus nerve, the power of networking, his mastermind group, and so much more. So without further ado, my discussion with Leighton Jurjak.
Medical innovation starts with medical discussion. Talking about the future and what comes next with Project MedTech.
Leighton, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, it's always fun to have a fellow podcaster as well on to talk. So before we jump into everything, why don't you give the listeners a little background on who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Leighton, and I host the Neural Implant Podcast. I've had something like 180 guests on in the brain-computer interface field, but it's not only that, it's also generally neural implants, neurotech, wearable, implantable, all these kinds of things. I also am here at the University of Florida. I'm doing my PhD in electrical engineering in neural implants. And so I'm doing the fabrication design of thin-filmed implantable devices. So I'm just very much into neurotech.
Okay, awesome. Is there a specific, you know, reason why you chose neuro? Or you know, I mean, from a research side of things, right? You'll hear most people like for myself, right? Medicinal chemist, right? And then from there, I picked a different area that I prefer to do research on and whatnot. What drove you to neuro?
Yeah, medicinal chemist. That sounds like a shaman or, you know, apothecary kind of thing. But Mine wasn't that. I didn't have a rain dance or anything like this. No. So basically what happened was, in my undergrad, I was at the University of Utah, and I did an internship at BlackRock Microsystems, which has the Utah Electrode Array, which is, you know, an implantable neurotech device, brain-computer interface, one of the few companies that actually does it. And, you know, I realized that it was just such a fascinating thing, and I left, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. You could say that the idea was implanted in my brain. Oh, but anyways, I left. I did my master's in Germany. I did, you know, all this kind of stuff. And a lot of it was to improve, you know, human, I guess, performance. Like, I had this idea like, oh, you know, kind of, I don't know if you remember the movie Limitless, where the guy takes a drug and then he, you know, he has 1,000 IQ. So I'm just like, okay, 1,000 IQ, how does that happen? I want to be smarter. I want to be like Neo from the Matrix. And yeah. So that's something that it very much interested me. And so basically, because of that previous brain implant where this idea was implanted in my brain, and I knew some of the issues with it and what needed to be done, I kind of came back to it, and I realized, like, this is the only thing that has really kept my attention for, you know, 5 years. And so I'm just like, okay, I think I have to do it. And it's great, you know, because I'm very much about doing things that I want to do, not because I have to, but because I want to. And so I realized this is something that I want to do, that I don't count the hours and I don't necessarily count the money.
Yeah, well, that's just great life advice in general. So awesome. All right. So you're in the neurospace field. And you also host a podcast called the Neuro Implant Podcast, right? I'm assuming this can be listened to anywhere podcasts are found. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. iTunes, Spotify, everything.
Great. So tell me a little bit about what that podcast is. And this kind of sets the stage for, you know, two of the reasons I want to have you on. One, to cover, you know, where the neurospace field is going, but just briefly touch on the podcast and the style. Is it interview style? What kind of guests you have on? You kind of mentioned you did 180 episodes or so. So just a little bit more of information about that.
Yeah. So the podcast, it's kind of funny actually. So I told you a little bit like, the genesis of this, like I came from, I had finished my master's, I finished school. And then I realized after that, like, oh shoot, I really want to work in this field, in this neurotech field. But at the time I was outside of academia already. So I was outside of the academic paywall. And so for me to see papers would cost me like $20, $30 a paper. So I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be, you know, spending hundreds of dollars, essentially throwing it away to see like what research I like and I didn't like. And basically the idea was like, I want to do a PhD. I want to continue in this field, doing research, and I need to find out who's good. And so basically, I would just talk to the professors themselves. That's kind of a big life hack. A lot of times, actually, another hack is, if you want to get your hands on a paper, but you can't get your hands on it, then you can just email the professor and they have it and they're happy to give it to you. It's the publishers that are actually causing the issues, that are having these like insane prices for essentially something that's government supported and should be free. But you know, whatever, that's a whole different issue. So to get a professor on the phone is difficult. But if you say, oh, I have an audience and I have a podcast and your voice is going to be shared with, you know, hundreds of other people, it's going to be like a big talk, then that's much, much more attractive. And so basically that's what I did. And I was surprised to get people on. And eventually I found some good researchers that I liked. And then within a year, I was basically in a lab and then, you know, working on some stuff. And bing, bang, boom, here I am working on a PhD. So, you know, mission accomplished essentially. And, but it's also got some side features, some side benefits of, basically having a press pass and being able to go to conferences. And, so, it's really cool. But I basically interview leaders in the neurotech space, whether they be researchers or business people or consultants, and basically see what they're up to, what they're doing, what the perspectives are in 20 to 40 minute episodes. And it's been a lot of fun. I've really grown my network from it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So can you tell me a little bit about then, you know, the neuro space, right? It's fast growing. You'll see companies like Neuralink, right, out there doing certain things, and obviously they get some publicity because Elon Musk is the CEO or founder or what have you of Neuralink's technology and whatnot. So he gets a little bit more of the publicity, but you know, where's the neuro space going? Because it is really interesting, right? I worked with a company years ago that was treating tinnitus or tinnitus, however you want to pronounce it. And it was really through headphones, like a certain pitch volume, and then electrical stimulation of the tongue. And that was how they were hitting a specific nerve, right? So like that was my first intro into that space. And I was like, wow, this is really, really interesting stuff. So maybe talk a little bit about what has you excited about, you know, where we're going in the neuro space, and what maybe people should be looking out for 5-10 years from now, because you have the insight to that. And people don't realize that sometimes, right? Like when people ask me, what's the most exciting thing about your job? I'm seeing technology 5 years before the public sees it, right? And that's really exciting. So I'd love your insight on specifically the neuro space.
Yeah, definitely. It's very interesting. And you see the stuff before it, you know, gets published, and a lot, there's a graveyard there too. So you see a lot of things that will never be published as well. But what has me excited is essentially, peripheral nerve stimulation, and especially bioelectronic medicine. So bioelectronic medicine is basically being able to stimulate the nerves going into the organs of the body, and to be able to stimulate those organs to do their function. So pancreas, for example, could produce insulin. So for somebody who's diabetic, they could produce insulin without insulin. They could produce their own endogenous insulin. And so that's really exciting to me. I think it's really fascinating, because I'm not that big a fan of the pharmaceutical industry, and what was it? Medicinal chemistry probably would not have been my my choice because of my quite negative view. So you probably know a lot of the disadvantages of, you know, pharmaceuticals. Like, they're very, very expensive to get through clinical trials. I mean, it takes billions of dollars, you know, like years and years, 5-10 years. And, you know, so devices, they have a much lower threshold to be able to need to cross. And that's because there's just, I would argue, a lower risk. You know, you're not flooding your body with chemicals. And let's say you want to attack the pancreas or go after the pancreas, which is like a 1 pound in your, you know, 180-pound body. You're basically flooding the rest of your body with it. Some chemicals, you could theoretically stimulate just that portion of the body. And as you know, a lot of drugs, they take a very long time to take effect. So SSRIs, basically depression drugs, they can take weeks before, you know, you're feeling the effects. And you know, with neurostimulation, with bioelectronic medicine, you could have that, you know, within seconds. You could literally turn it on, turn it off within seconds. So it's really exciting to me. I think it's kind of something that I kept my eye on. There's been a joint partnership with GlaxoSmithKline, GSK, and Google, which is called Galvani, and they were trying to do this. That was, you know, a few years ago. Unfortunately, the results, you know, aren't as good as what I just said, but I think it still could be possible. And what they found as well was that basically this partnership, basically pharmaceutical and neurostimulation, is much more powerful than either of them individually. So that might be the future of it, but it's still really fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I don't want to slam the pharmaceutical industry. I think, you know, there's definitely a need for certain drugs, but I completely understand where you're coming from. I mean, something that was like a frustration for me during the pandemic was how much coverage drugs and vaccines got from the national media, right? When the diagnostics did, to a certain extent, but it didn't feel like it got the same type of coverage, and how important the diagnostic industry was in supporting that space. And for those who don't know, device and diagnostic go hand in hand, right? So they're part of the same industry, really. But yeah, you know, I get what you're saying, and I think the biggest thing, like you said, is you know, it takes $1 billion to take a drug to market. It does not take $1 billion to take a device to market. If your device company took $1 billion for a device to get to market, you really, really screwed up. But yeah, so what else besides that targeted, you know, you mentioned the pancreas, you know, what else is going on in that neuro space? Because I guess, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't even think of stimulating the pancreas as a neuro product. So now I'm curious, what other fun things are you seeing out there?
Yeah, there's a lot. So basically the darling of the field is the vagus nerve. So vagus nerve is like one of the most important nerves that basically connects to your body, your brain, all the way down, kind of, it travels, kind of crisscrosses throughout the body and connects to a lot of nerves as well. But it also has a big calming effect, and being able to stimulate that can calm the body and create, you know, kind of a sense of well-being as well. And this is, you know, this has been well documented. And so basically what this means is there could be a lot of treatments for things like addiction, depression, a lot of withdrawal symptoms from drugs, from the drugs that, you know, maybe the pharmaceutical industry may have, put into the society, you know, legally or illegally, morally or immorally. And so you can kind of prevent those withdrawal symptoms. So That's actually really interesting. So I think there's going to be a lot of vagus nerve stuff going on. And there are branches of the vagus nerve that don't necessarily go next to your neck and throughout the, you know, that your innards. There are some that kind of go to easier to access areas, such as the ear. And so you can actually have wearable devices that fix a lot of these things. And so there is one company that is working on this kind of stuff. And basically, they're able to cure withdrawal symptoms, you know, heavy drug withdrawal symptoms, potentially even hangover symptoms, you know, within seconds. Like you literally put it on and you go from a fetal position, you know, and you go back up to, you know, talking as normally.
And these are external? Like these are external devices, right? Okay. So is the... There's these new devices in a number of different spaces now. It's like stroke treatment, concussion stuff. But anyways, I was down at a place called Nottingham Spurk. It's here in Cleveland. They're a design facility, and they're well known in the Cleveland area. But they had a device there that cooled the brain to treat concussion protocol, and everything was external. It was like a little head thing you put on, and then a neck. It just went around your neck. Is that the same concept to what you're describing with treating the vagus nerve?
So the vagus nerve does go next to the throat, so you can have you know, external devices there too. This one that I'm talking about, this company, Spark Biomedical, they basically it's like a headphone or something like this, like not a normal like in-ear headphone. It's kind of maybe like a sports headphone that you put on there. And and then they're actually even doing it to treat withdrawal symptoms in neonates. So basically infants that were born, you know, addicted to drugs, addicted to opioids, and they're able to ease their withdrawal symptoms, which before there was literally like, I mean, there's like some kind of protocol over 5 days or something like this. It was really not good. And then here they're able to you know, fix them in minutes.
That's wild. That's so crazy. Awesome. So that that covers a lot of the neuro questions I had. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, oddly enough, is networking, right? So startups realize this probably once they've found the company and have gotten started, but they do not realize it as a hurdle when they first start their company. And that is networking, right? And that is something that in my time around startups, it is outside of the obvious things like figuring out your regulatory strategy and your reimbursement strategy and your clinical strategy and how to raise capital and what market you're going to go after and all of those things. It is that their biggest problem, whether they realize it or not, is networking with the right people. And to be honest, I could probably say that might be the number one problem, because your network is who's going to help you become successful. It's going to help you pull in the right talent when you need it. So, you know, that's something we focus on heavily at Project MedTech, and it's something that you've focused on as well, and the network you've built. So, first of all, I'd love to just get a little background about the kind of network you've built through the podcast and just in general in the neuro space. Maybe just highlight that a little bit, but then, you know, maybe explain to the viewers why you focused on that and the benefits you've seen to that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you put yourself into, you know, a founder's shoes and you got to find, you know, people to help you with regulatory reimbursement, you know, clinical trials, like, how do you do that? I mean, where would you start? You know, and a lot of times there's hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line, and that's what they're going to be charging you, tens of thousands of dollars. So how do you know who's good? How do you know, who will do a good job and what kind of job they'll do, all this kind of stuff. So I think this is very important. And, you know, not only for founders, I think, you know, generally for anybody in any sort of career needs to be able to focus on networking. And I always think like the problem that you have, somebody you know knows the answer, and you just have to find that person, and they'll be able to sell. They'll be able to save you a lot of time. I had a roommate, you know, back in college that was like, he would joke that a year in the lab can save you a half hour conversation. So basically, you can either spend a year in the lab or you can talk to somebody for a half hour, you know, your choice, I guess. And I think that that does apply to everything else as well. So yeah, I mean, basically it started with me with the podcast, you know, as I said, 180 episodes, and then through being able to go to conferences and being able to have a press pass, kind of backstage access a little bit, it was really cool. And I got to know a lot of people, you know, not only entrepreneurs, researchers, consultants. And so I kind of noticed that there was a need, like, okay, I need to start putting these people together. And, you know, not all founders are as talented or as willing to work on this as I am. And so, you know, I can kind of bring these people together. And so what I started doing was a peer support group, and I call it a mastermind. And it's a small group of 4 to 6 entrepreneurs that are kind of beyond the idea stage, you know, that have already gotten funded, you know, already have employees, everything like this, but not, you know, public companies or anything like this. But, you know, they meet together. We're meeting together twice a month. We're actually meeting today. And, you know, we talk about challenges of running the companies. I bring on guests to talk about, to kind of give them advice. And then a lot of times they can see, like, okay, do we like this person? Do I like this consultant? Maybe somebody else has experience with them. And so I can hear, you know, what their experience was. And so that's happened a lot. Like a lot of people have been like, oh, this person is good. Work with them. Don't work with this person. Don't work with them. And you know, that could shave months off your timeline and hundreds of thousands of dollars off your the money you need to raise. So it's quite amazing. And I'm going to be expanding this a little bit further to groups that meet less often and but can also give each other advice. So it's been really, really amazing and a huge boost in these companies that are involved.
Yeah, that's a wonderful concept, and that's a wonderful group. And to be honest, I know we actually talked about that in November when we had our initial call, and I completely forgot about it until now. And that was one of the reasons I was so jazzed to talk to you, because it is such an issue, right? I mean, I've been to, I don't know, 50 incubators and accelerators across the globe, right? Not just in the US, but in Europe and other places. And the issue a lot of times, their incubators, accelerators are really good, but the issue of where a lot of them maybe fall just a little bit short and need this kind of support that you're offering, that Project MedTech's offering, is that, you know, we focus in on a specific area. Like if you go to these incubators, accelerators, they'll lump med tech, health tech, digital health, pharma, biotech, anything health related, all under one. And then, you know, their resources a lot of times say, well, yeah, I expand across the whole thing. And I'm not sure that's the best advice, right? So at Project MedTech, we obviously focus in on med tech, digital health, medical devices, maybe telehealth to a certain extent, right? And we understand that space and the nuances of that really well. So I think what you're doing is a huge need in the marketplace, because to think that, you know, the way a medical device company and a pharma company get to market are the same is really silly. There might be some overlap, right? But you need to understand that. So anyways, I really like what you're doing. And you know, for a lot of companies that aren't located in, you're down in Florida, right? You're at the University of Florida. Yeah. So, yes. Okay. If you're not in Boston, Minneapolis, San Francisco, or maybe San Diego to a certain extent, like you're going to have to reach out to other areas to get the top talent, and you need the top talent to be successful. And these are great ways for you to do it. So is everything you're doing virtual, or is there an in-person component to it as well?
Yeah, everything is virtual, and you know, all our members are across different time zones, which actually makes it a little bit difficult. But yeah, we have, you know, Europeans on the calls as well. And yeah, it's something that, you know, virtual, you know, Zoom and everything like this kind of enables, and it wouldn't be possible without it. But I do want to start doing in-person events, and so kind of like getaways. And so 2023, I want to do a trip to Belize and just get everybody together and just, you know, throw some rocket fuel on it, aka alcohol, and just see what magic comes out of it. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, if you're looking for participation, let me know. Project MedTech would love to get involved.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. And I think that'd be really cool to have, like, not only the entrepreneurs, but the consultants, you know, both sides come in and be able to, you know, see what, like, and that's the thing, like, after a few days of talking, you get to know somebody quite well, you know, maybe some wine will help too, but you know, some magic and some new ideas can come out of that. So definitely, you're definitely invited.
Yeah, that's great. No, and I think too, you know, kind of touching on the network side of things, you know, you're talking about getting to know those consultants or getting to know people that you might bring into your team somehow. That's the other thing is the importance of that for a startup. Like, you can't screw up, right? Because you talked about getting the right people in saves you money. Getting the wrong people in can add 6 months, a year, hundreds of thousands of dollars to your timeline. So, you know,
that's assuming your company survives.
Oh, exactly. 100%. Right. Which is also probably, you know, for a lot of these startups who are raising capital, it's going to be hard to go raise more capital. And when, you know, they ask, well, why are you raising more capital? Your reasoning is not going to be great, you know? So yeah, I think that's, this is like a nice little trial run where people can meet them and interview them and get feedback from others. So that's awesome. Layden, is there anything else I missed that you wanted to touch on before we jump off?
No, I think this is pretty good. And you know, if people are interested, you know, they can reach out to me. I guess neuralimplantpodcast@gmail.com. That's a good place to reach me. And then, you know, just check out the podcast. And if you're an entrepreneur or a consultant that works in the neurotech space, then if I don't already know you, then you know, reach out and we can, you know, maybe have you come on, either as, you know, a presenter or a member. And yeah, I think it's still early days in this field. That's why I like it. I like these kind of pioneering things. Mm-hmm. And so neurotech is on the inflection point right now. So that's very exciting. Love it.
Is there a website they can go to as well?
Yeah, neuralimplantpodcast.com. Okay. Or yeah, just look up Neural Implant Podcast and Google, Spotify, you know, iTunes, wherever you find your podcast.
Okay, great. And then I'll include links to your LinkedIn profile, the website, the podcast link, whatever, all in the show notes. So if people are listening, they can very easily just go into there and click on the link. But Layden, thank you so much for your time. Hang on for a minute. We'll chat offline real quick. But thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. If you need anything from the podcast, you can always contact us at info@projectmedtech.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.